Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alan Taylor, today in San Diego for the Traffic and Conversion Conference. I'm here with my friend Randy Garn from Scipio.com. You can check him out. Randy has a lot of friends in this industry. This is kind of the digital marketing world. And our first guest up, Randy, is Dave Woodward from ClickFunnels. He's the Chief Business Development Officer. Who wants to tell what ClickFunnels is? I always like to have somebody else do it, Dave. Let's see what Randy can do.
I'd love to see what Randy's going to say on this one.
Listen, it's this easy. ClickFunnels is hands down the best marketing automation solution for small business, medium-sized businesses that is available today. They've done it all for you, and so a lot of people will give you a software, but they've actually built out all the tools to make it very, very simpler for you to have quick success. So ClickFunnels.com, Dave Woodward is just a great man, and I've watched these guys explode over the last, how many years now? Seven?
It's 3.5 years now.
3.5 years? It feels like longer than that.
It does feel like longer than that.
But they are the very, very best because it's such a simple software to use and works.
So for those that didn't quite understand what is a ClickFunnel?
So what ClickFunnels does is if you need to gather leads or if you need to sell anything online, ClickFunnels does that for you. So when a person first comes into ClickFunnels, they can create...
It's a whole platform then.
It's an entire platform. It includes your landing pages, it includes your membership sites, it includes all your follow-up sequences, your webinars, has a shopping cart in there so you can take payments. And then most importantly on the back end is all the follow-up sequences, whether if you want to use Scipio to follow up through text platforms, if you want to use email, if you want to use Facebook Messenger, desktop notifications, push notifications, anything all like that. When you're trying to communicate with your clients, what we find is for every dollar that comes in the front end, $17 comes in through what we refer to as the follow-up funnels, and that's the magic.
So it's interesting, you know, as I look at some of the industries, perhaps like the franchise world, you see these people that have great ideas, they have one great mom and pop store, and they go, hey, let's franchise this, because people say, I'd buy a franchise, so then they go ahead and do it, and they spend a lot of money to get out there, and then... Maybe sometimes they get successful, maybe sometimes they don't, but it depends on the tools that they use. These are some of the tools they should be using. I was talking to Randy about that a little bit ago. It seems like the franchise industry could really do well with this.
The franchise industry is probably one of the things that we're most excited about for 2018, is really helping the franchises really grow, because it's all about scale and it's about duplication. And one of the great things inside of ClickFunnels is we have what we refer to as a share funnel, to where you can create it one time and then you can share it with every other franchise. And so it's basically you do it one time and every franchise has the exact same funnel.
And then he talked about your product, Randy, Scipio, working well with ClickFunnels. Maybe you could just give a 1 minute on Scipio.
We use ClickFunnels for all of our landing pages, for all of our lead acquisition, customer acquisition. For small business, if you're not bringing in new customers, you're dying, right? I mean, that's the lifeblood of your company. And then what we do, we bolt on with them, and we're able to integrate with them so that actually, then we add in the texting piece to that. So there's actually the mobile texting and voice broadcasting that couples with the email and the marketing automation that is a perfect fit, hand in glove fit for being able to really be a master communicator, master marketing guy. So, I mean, like I said, the better you market, the less you have to sell. And if you can automate that, then you can have scalability. If you do not automate your marketing, you will not grow.
And I think this is a really good opportunity. Take a break real quick. I want you guys to understand, mom-and-pop businesses out there, that these technologies are available to you today. And all you got to do is visit their websites. Again, clickfunnels.com or scipio.com. Take a little break. We'll come back and ask some more simple questions to help you in your business. Entrepreneur Weekly will be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor. It is live broadcasting today from Traffic and Conversion Conference And so many people are in business, and they had these great ideas, they started these businesses, and they don't know what to do from there. They stand behind their counters, they look at their cash register, and they think, this thing needs to be ringing more. Oh, wait a minute, they don't have cash registers anymore. It's all, but you know what I'm saying.
POS now.
Right, yeah. So I'm here with Randy Garn and from Skippio.com, which I think using text to communicate with your customers is fantastic, and also Dave Woodward from ClickFunnels. So let's talk about maybe the trends. I mean, we live in a digital world, and digital marketing is a must. Using Facebook, using text, using whatever you can, and it's actually a lot, cheaper, it's a lot more affordable than advertising used to be, buying pages and magazines and things like that. Now, people should do all these things, but Amanda Holmes was on the show with me the other day, and I think people are using like 15 different types of advertising, marketing, today because there's so many more available. So, Dave, maybe you could talk about the trends. What are you seeing?
We're seeing from the trends, some of the main things we're seeing from a technology standpoint, like you mentioned, a little step back, a lot of people feel like it's really hard to do. And I think that's one of the things we've really enjoyed most with ClickFunnels is it's drag and drop simple. It literally, you just move one thing to the other. If you want to shift around where your opt-in pages are, if you want to shift around where a button is or a video or a call to action. But so we try to really make it as simple. So what you see is what you get type of a thing. But as far as some of the major trends we're seeing right now, it's really in the follow-up. Everyone always talks a lot about Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, what he's built there. I think one of the great things from an advertisement standpoint is the ability to really go in and identify who your actual audience is very, very quickly inside, so you can target, so you really see an ROI. So I know for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's all about, you know, gosh, I spent all this money out there on advertising, but I know 50% of it works. I just don't know what 50% it actually is. The great thing about Facebook is it allows you the opportunity of doing that. We're seeing probably, to answer your question real quick, bots are probably the biggest thing we're seeing, where you can actually have a messenger bot where people are communicating more through messenger than they are through anything else. And that's really one of the main trends we're seeing. Fortunately, we have that built in now to ClickFunnels, and it helps out a ton with our clients.
When you talk about a bot, that's artificial intelligence, AI. Do you guys work with that? Do you help people create that, or do you have resources?
We actually do help inside of our Actionetics product. We actually will have that in there so that they can actually create those bots and those messengers. So again, bot seems really robotic, AI. It's really super simple. It's basically a personal message that you're communicating with. Instead of having an email sequence, you now basically have a drip sequence inside of Messenger where you ask them questions, they respond. Skippio does the same thing through text.
So we're talking about, you know, if you guys know about email and you know, you're going to be gone for a week. You have an automatic message. It's the same thing. That's what they're calling a bot. It just responds. It's certain responses that are programmed in. So maybe you could talk about that for a sec.
A key is not only in between. I mean, if you're doing lead acquisition or customer acquisition, a lot of times people aren't going to buy that first time, right? You've got to build that relationship with them before they'll buy. Once they become a customer and a client, then you have to build a deep, meaningful relationship with them. Whether you're Nordstrom's or whether you're ClickFunnels or whether you're, you know, the plumber down the street or an attorney, they want to talk to you. And so what marketing is doing now, what ClickFunnels and what Skippio are doing now, is getting really good at the follow-up. Fortune is in the follow-up. Fortune is in building the deep relationships with your clients so they never forget you. Never be boring, never be predictable. Send them a fun, you know, thought leadership thing. Send them, never miss a birthday. I've got 6,282 people that I send a happy birthday text to during the year, and it's all automated. I couldn't do that every morning, but it's sincere.
Wait a minute, I thought that wasn't even you. By the way, fortune favors the bold, and I think that you have to be bold, right, in business.
You have to be bold.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because guess what? If the person then responds to you and says, hey, thank you, now, bing, you get a message, and you can now start that real conversation. So I think this is brilliant. This is just tools that we should all use in our digital marketing. And what did that cost you? Nothing, in essence.
You know, it cost you a lot. Actually, if you don't do it, you are wasting time, energy, and efforts. And the investment in getting a tool like ClickFunnels and Skippio is tremendous, tremendous value. It's an investment. It's not a cost. It is an investment if you do it right.
And when we talk about cost, maybe you guys could give kind of a little bit about that. What does it cost to get involved with ClickFunnels and Skippio?
So for ClickFunnels, we have a 14-day free trial, so you can just try it for free. And then afterwards, it's about $97 a month.
Wow. That seems really good. How about you with Skippio?
Yeah, ours is, it's about $1 million to do the...
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We'll take another commercial break right there. His is free for 14 days. Wowzer.
Yeah. If you make money with ClickFunnels, you can then afford Scipio. That's how it works.
No, it's really simple. It ranges from $99 to $199 a month for the solution and the service, depending on how many contacts you have. So
it's so interesting how inexpensive these things are. And in our minds, we feel like that it's going to be thousands or hundreds of thousands because we've heard of nightmares of others, right? Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of a new world out there. And all those ones that were overcharging, taking advantage, they may still be out there, but that's what this show is all about, is to find the ones that are doing the best of brand, the ones that are the most honorable and honest and that can help you and your business. Guys, thank you very much. Dave, clickfunnels.com, is that basically what you want the world
to
know?
Place to go, clickfunnels.com.
And Scipio.com for Randy Garnon. Randy, you're going to stay here with me. He's got some other great people. I'm Alan Taylor today in San Diego at this conversion conference. It's all about converting from the old way to the new way. I'm going to say it that way. We'll take a little break from San Diego. We'll be right back with more Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're back here at the conference. I'm with Randy Garn from Scipio.com. Joining us right now is Michael Perella. He's with ILoveKickboxing.com. It's a franchise. He's from Long Island.
Yep.
And I have some good friends in Long Island. He's a car guy, which means he's a man after my own heart. Randy, I'm going to let you, you introduce him a little better because you know him, you work with him.
Mike is one of the greatest guys I've met from New York. And so
that's a big statement.
Condition on that one.
No, but we were just out there, actually at their office. We met up with Brandon Steiner out there, who's a good friend of ours as well. And I went and saw their offices, saw their operation. They run one of the most amazing franchise businesses that I've seen. You feel like a family when you're there. The best thing that they've done is put really good systems and processes together for you to have ultimate success. And they're just, you guys are growing like crazy.
You know, and that's what it's about, is systems and processes. Now, I just bought a gym. And I know the first thing I got to do is put some sort of martial arts, kickboxing, something in there. You know, it's called Fit Club. It's kind of a takeoff of Fight Club, so it would work. But talk about I Love Kickboxing.
So I Love Kickboxing is a group fitness class. It's primarily targeted at people who are looking to get in shape, but not have to do with anything with fighting. Do a fighter's workout, but not actually get punched or kicked in the face. So we've got about an 85% female demographic and about a 15% male demographic. That's pretty smart because they work out with about 85% women. But the thing that we did that was really unique, and it's interesting you bring up the thing about buying a gym, is when I started the franchise actually as a licensing program maybe about 9 years ago. And for the first few years, I ran it as a license. And basically what I did was I gave a business in a box to people who owned a gym or a martial arts school, or if they were interested in doing kickboxing or adding a new income source to their gym, the same way you'd mentioned before, we gave them this business in a box. But the one thing that we did differently was we created these very high-converting direct response websites, and we sold trial memberships. So this is right before you saw Groupon and other deal sites come up. We did this because everyone else in the space was always giving away a free day, a free week, a free month. And I know from being an avid marketer that free doesn't sell in the same way that something where you can establish value and a commitment and kind of like complete that circle of relationship. When you get something for free, you know, we've always heard no such thing as a free lunch. And I once got George Carlin tickets in Vegas for free, but I knew I had to go on a timeshare sit, which was the most painful thing I think I've ever experienced, but I knew there was a price to pay for those free tickets. So we started this paid trial membership model, rolled it out really in the end of 2008. Since to date, we've sold 2.4 million of these things, and it really helped to grow and launch the franchise because we're the only franchise that I know of, at least, that handles 85 to 95% of the marketing for the franchisee. So imagine this, you know, you bought a gym recently. Wouldn't it have been great if your gym opened up, but it had between 500 and 1,500 pre-sold trials the day before you opened the door? So we do that work for all our franchises. We get compensated for the trial part of that money, which works out great for us. But it's enabled me to build a large team, a large staff, a great infrastructure to support the hundreds and hundreds of franchises that we've sold.
All right, so I'm sold. I'll take one.
I might want to think of
a hard time getting one there. They're sold out in a lot of the country.
Well, this is what I love about coming to these conferences. I never know who you're going to bump into. You never know what you're going to learn. ILoveKickboxing.com. You guys can check it out. So, I mean, I am interested. Let's say I'm the collective soul of the audience listening. What do we do to connect with you?
Well, you go to ILoveKickboxing.com and you'll put in an application of interest, and it'll identify whether the territory's available. But you put in all that stuff, and someone usually within 24 hours from the office and the development team gets in contact with you. You find out if your availability or what locations are available near you. We only have maybe, I think, 300 territories left in the country that have not been sold yet. The rest are in, there's a little more than 300 units open. There's a few hundred units in various stages of development. But that's all you need to do. You go to ILoveKickboxing.com. And you put in your information, and you get signed up.
And how about the franchise world? I mean, this is kind of the be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. But this is still that helpful thing. You're not rolling along by yourself, trying to figure everything out. You have this partner, and it's ILoveKickboxing.com in this case, right?
Yeah, well, the idea is, I mean, you invest in a franchise because a franchise is a proprietary system of doing business that differentiates you from every other business in the area. You buy a franchise because you have a high success rate. You know, if you go through the due diligence process, you'll find there are franchises. Like, for instance, we've been open for 7 years and have only closed 6 locations. And, and quite honestly, I mean, I think the locations that closed, it had nothing to do with the systems of the franchise. Even some of the best franchises, Dunkin' Donuts is a great franchise, 10% of their units. It may not be an accurate number, but units closed is the point. And it's not due to the system. It's more due to the pilot error. Rather than the equipment. In the very beginning of signing up people for franchises, it was kind of like when you're young and you don't know what dating crazy is like. You know, you don't know what's a good fit until you have a couple of scary situations and maybe a rabbit in the pot, type of thing, right? And then you realize, well, I'm going to stay away from this person. So there were a few franchisees that, we signed up in the beginning. We were excited to get this going, but that maybe weren't the best fit. And I think those are the 6 units that, had closed. But if you're going to invest in a franchise, the one thing to be really clear on is you're not a unique snowflake. If you're doing this because you want to be different, you want to express yourself entrepreneurially, this is not the path for you to go. We've met people that didn't qualify for the franchise because they really wanted to do something different and had all these suggestions and ideas, and that's great. That's a franchise family is probably not the best one for you. So if you want to park your money and into a business and build a business that really makes a difference in a community, our business is great because you change so many people's lives. So if you want something like that and you want to and you're social and you like to interact with people and get to know your members and your staff, then I think we're a great franchise to own.
Well, again, it's ILoveKickboxing.com. You guys can check it out. Mike Perella, thank you very much. And listen, I'm going to check it out my own self. So there you go. You got one more guy. We'll take a little break and be back with more of our speed round. This is like speed dating with Randy Garn. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. We are back with ILoveKickboxing.com, Mike Perella, Randy Garn from Scipio. Randy, there's more to this story, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun as we're here with Entrepreneur. A lot of entrepreneurs are like, man, he's successful. He's killing it. I mean, I've been to his house. I've been to his office. They're just crushing it in business and in life, both personally. But it's not always that way. And so, I mean, when I was with Mike, it's like, just hearing your story, this is a battle. This is war, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think of it like warfare. Like, I'm putting my armor on and I'm going into battle. But I think this what you're referencing is, in the beginning, things weren't so good. So I've been in business since I'm 24. I'm 50 years old now. But I always had this intermittent success. I'd have a few months that were great and a few months that weren't. And at the end of the year, I always seemed to have more year than I had money, right? I always spend a dollar more than I made. So I got to the point, I think, in 2007 where things really started going on a downhill where my business lost 400% in 1 year and I was, my house was in foreclosure. I had to park my truck maybe 5-6 blocks from the house because the repo guys were looking for me. Literally, I couldn't afford to eat, but the only person who worked for me was a guy whose mother was a hoarder. You know what a hoarder is, right? Well, she hoarded in Jeffrey Dahmer-sized freezers. She hoarded microwave TV dinners. So every day, my buddy Ryan brought in 6 microwave TV dinners, mostly lean cuisines. And well, we had a cutoff. If they were 2 years old or less expired, then we could eat them. Unless they were
2 years old or less expired,
yes,
already.
Yeah, because it was slim pickings, man, in those days. So as long as
it was first, right?
Yeah, and if it was Swedish meatballs, I would maybe even extend that 2 year date a little further because those were good. Yeah, I mean, I had to go to Coinstar, like in the supermarket, and exchange cash, like the coins, so I could buy food for my 2 dogs. It was a bad time, but it's interesting because so many people seem to have this kind of story where they were broke or, you know, they were pinned up against the wall. And I think what happens is why that's universally, you know, constant in almost everyone who's got a great success story is because it was a way to focus. You had nowhere to go but up. There was no distractions because survival became the main thing, not what was going to be on TV or not who I was going to go out with on Friday night. It was survival. So that was like the warfare part. And if you take your eyes off the battlefield for a minute, that could be a fatal move, you know?
When I know Mike now and to see that and I see his strength, that's what I see with a lot of entrepreneurs. I mean, sometimes if you're waiting for all the smart people to show up, they're not coming. I mean, you get to a point where you realize as an entrepreneur, the cavalry ain't coming. Nobody's coming to save you. And that's when it freaking happens. That's when the magic starts. Necessity creates a lot of opportunity for you.
You know, and speaking of that opportunity, it's interesting because I looked at the guy that I bought my gym from, and a really nice guy, but he didn't even have a Facebook page for the gym. He just was word of mouth. That was about it. He wanted his buddies there. And he took this 12,500 square foot gym down to about 100 members. And the sad thing is that the gym in town has 1,000 members, but they're doing all these social media, digital media marketing. And it's like, that's the difference between life and death these days. You got to stay up with the marketing and how it's evolving and making sure that you're doing smart things and perhaps even be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, with a franchise, like with our friends here from I Love Kickboxing, and you can go to .com and find about it. But let me ask you, would you do anything different today looking back in your business where you are today? Obviously not with your life. That's a whole other story. But in business, what is that one thing you wish you would have done better? I'm just curious.
I think the thing that I try and do now, and I can look back and say I wish I did more of this, is my main focus is to remove constraint. I will do whatever is necessary to remove obstacles. And a lot of times I found myself, and I think other people find themselves in business, I'll do this once this happens. Or when I get to here, then I'll do this. Meanwhile, I just try and remove the what this is or waiting for this part, and everything I can do to speed things up. That's the only thing I regret, is that I screwed around with things sometimes, and either didn't pay as much as I should have for things, or I tried to do stuff on the cheap. But that was it, man. So even now for me and for the rest of my life, it's going to be about, how do I make things, grease the wheels? How do I move things faster? How do I move constraint and obstacles from my view?
Last thoughts?
Yeah, no, there's a great book called The Obstacle is the Way. And the strategy, when you're thinking about things, strategy isn't what makes you more of the same. It's what makes you different. And, you know, and I think about what they've done. So, I mean, that I think is a lot of a lesson learned for a lot of entrepreneurs, is like, do the hard work first.
Well, there you have it. Mike Perella, ilovekickboxing.com, Randy Garn, Scipio.com.
Can I say one more thing then?
Yeah, one last thing.
One thing, like, so 8 years ago, I'm broke, right? I've made probably in the 7 years now about $110 million. I made 60 in the last 2 years. And it was really a polarizing, you know, thing from eating expired microwave TV dinners to eating pretty much whatever I want, whenever I want, which is not as good. I probably need to lose 10 more pounds. But anyway, the one thing I'd want to say is, a lot of people ask, well, oh my God, they look at the strategies I employed, but almost none of them were planned. So I think that a lot of people think that in order to have this, like, oh, these guys got this all figured out, and you meet these entrepreneurs, you think they have all their stuff together. When you get to know everyone, we all share the war stories of how we almost fell off the edge, or how this almost didn't happen, or these other mistakes. And I just think for everyone, like taking action is the most important thing. Like, you know, it almost creates opportunity. So I just want to say to anyone's listening, don't wait till you have it all figured out, man. Just start running. Things will develop as they come, but nothing will happen if you're sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, my mother-in-law used to say, man sit for a long time with mouth wide open waiting for roast chicken to fly in. We'll take a break. Mike Perella again, ilovekickboxing.com. I'm going to check it out because I've got a gym and we got to do something. And I think this is a great conference for stuff like this, is just, you know, taking guys like Mike that are honest, authentic, not afraid to talk about his battle wounds, and I think, you know, it's delightful. Thank you very much. We'll take a break. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're at the Traffic and Conversion Conference in San Diego today. It's all about digital marketing, and I run into Alex Brown from the Beard Club, and yet he doesn't have a beard. What has Alex Brown been up to? How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing pretty well. It's good to see you, Alan.
What have you been doing?
I've been doing all sorts of stuff. Still with the Beard Club. Still figuring a lot of stuff out with that, and really positioning the company for some great growth. We actually came to this event, I guess it was three summits ago, so 2 years ago, and really was kind of our introduction into the internet marketing world. We had gone viral with the business. We were crushing it. But we had an e-commerce company, and we really knew nothing about e-commerce and actual digital marketing. And we learned a lot about, you know, email marketing and funnel building and stuff that we're still implementing and integrating today into our business. So it's cool to be here and to now know a bunch of people in this community, and really awesome. And yes, I recently shaved my beard, but it was nothing to do with the Beard Club. I just felt I needed to change. Ironically, I did it because I thought the beard has now become so much of my identity that... you know, it was this topic of conversation every time I talked to someone, and I thought, you know, I'm more than just a beard. I'm going to, you know, identify with this so much. Like, I'm just going to change things up and shock the world a little bit, maybe change the conversation. Of course, now that I don't have a beard, that is the conversation, even more so than it ever was. So I achieved the opposite effect.
Well, it's funny because when you have a company called The Beard Club, thebeardclub.com for you bearded men and or women, you know, you now obviously, that is the topic, is they're looking at how do you groom your beard and how do you take care of your beard. It's like almost like carrying a dog around with you. It's like, oh, such a cute dog. Oh, such a cute beard. Oh, the women want to touch it and everything else, which is kind of funny. I've seen it happen with you guys. So, but you've been lecturing all around the world, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, things have really picked up in that direction. We have an amazing team at the Beard Club. Some of the operators are, you know, far better than I am, and I'm humble enough to admit that they're better than I am, and that's why we have them in place. So we're really, like, scaling up there and doing a lot of great things. And I started to feel a little bit like I wasn't in the right place, and I started to get, you know, anxious and was starting to... things just didn't feel right. And I really have this community-building passion to help other entrepreneurs, and... I started to basically write down all the stuff that we'd done with the Beard Club, things that we'd learned really hard way, like, you know, going viral and breaking our website and having to redo our fulfillment and, you know, our products and everything like that. So all the lessons we learned the hard way, all the stuff we were fortunate enough to learn the right way, and started, maybe I'll write an ebook or a book or something like that. And it sort of evolved into community that I'm launching, basically help people duplicate what we did, which is, you know, build an 8-figure subscription business in 8 months. So just kind of give people the blueprint, and I've fortunately been connected with some amazing people along the way, and the vision keeps unfolding, but, you know, it feels good to be working on something new, and it actually has served and helped the Beard Club a lot too, because it's brought in some great connections for that. So as you know, entrepreneurs tend to get a little antsy and want to try new things and do new things. So this way I can, you know, still be involved with the business I started, the Beard Club, and help and facilitate some amazing connections and some strategic decision making, but also, you know, scratch the itch and get into something new and start to help people and, you know, connect people and do the stuff that I'm super passionate about.
So when you talk about this new community that you're working on to be able to connect people together, is there a name for it yet? Are you formulating, or where are you at with that?
Yeah, so it's called Subscription Hacks, and we've got, you know, a very basic kind of landing page up now for it, and an opt-in, and going to launch actually a 16-module course, and I've got content on each sort of area of the business: fulfillment, operations, Facebook marketing, email marketing, and really building out kind of a special course for people in e-commerce, but also mostly subscription-focused, because that's kind of the niche that we're known for and what I feel I can deliver a lot of value on, as well as, you know, membership group and a great blog. And if you're up for it, I'd love to interview you. But
Yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, I watched you guys go through that meteoric success. It was something like $14 or $15 million in 18 months or something.
Yeah, it was pretty astronomical. And like I said, we really didn't have the infrastructure in place to handle that kind of growth. And fortunately, what we did do really well in the event that you came to, our Unconscious Content event, we did video really well. And we did community building. And we tapped into that thing you said earlier in this interview about, you know, someone wants to come and touch your beard. And it's this very, like, interesting thing that is underlying in the bearded community. So we did great at building a brand, but we really didn't know the foundations of, you know, e-commerce and even just... you know, like whether it was operations or email marketing, we really had to figure a lot of that out after. So we're blessed to have built a great brand, and it's a testament to what you do when you build a community and when you provide value for people. But it's also a great gift to be able to give back, to say, hey, don't make the same mistakes we did. And, you know, it's not necessarily important that you go 0 to 10 million in your first year like we did. Might even be better to go to 1 million and then the next year 3 million and actually build like a sustainable long-term business. You know, we had a great team. We were able to handle that, but it was a lot, you know. We're the first to admit it.
Well, you know, it was fun to watch because, you know, I'm an older guy. Yeah. You guys are, you know, young men. You guys were having a blast. It was fun to hang out with you guys. It was called the Dollar Beard Club to begin with, and now it's converted itself into the Beard Club. And I think there was probably some legal stuff in there. And you really had a meteoric rise to some big money. But along the way, there was also some big challenges and some big scary things to deal with, you know, yeah. Lawyers and attorneys and the certified mail and stuff like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of different issues. Like, our website's been the biggest issue for us since the get-go, and we've had a hard time. It's like you said, we went astronomically big, and then as soon as you try and make changes on your website when you have 30,000, 50,000 active subscribers, each ordering a combination, there's 10,000 possible order combinations that we've experienced. So you make a change on that with all those like legacy accounts and all that data. It's, Chris always says it's like renovating a house while there's a party going on. You got people tracking paint from the construction room over into the kitchen, and you're trying to clean up after everyone. It's a bit of a nightmare, but... yeah, we've pretty much dealt with it all. We've made some pretty significant blunders. We've made some really great successes. And we got such great traction in video that we thought we were like, you know, untouchable video experts. And we'd spent $3,000 on a video that returned $500,000 in sales. But then we also kind of started to believe our own BS and thought we were, you know, so incredibly untouchable at it. We've spent $100,000 in a video that did very little sales. You name it, we've had an experience with it. And, fortunately, we're integrating all of that into the collective wisdom of the business hive that we have. So it's been pretty cool.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, Alex Brand, you're a good man. Keep up the good work. I'll keep following you on your journey through life and through entrepreneurship. And I'm impressed with what's happening in your life. So keep it up.
Oh, thanks a lot, Alan. Always a pleasure.
All right. That's one of my friends along the way in life, and you bump into each other at these places. Hey, what have you been doing? Well, we now know what Alex Brown is doing from the Beard Club. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
We're here at the Traffic and Conversion Conference in San Diego. I am here with Amanda Holmes from Chet Holmes International, who seems to know everybody. I know the MC, Scott Duffy. He's sitting here filming us right now, but I don't know many people here because this has not been my specialty, digital marketing. That's what this is all about. But today I actually do know somebody here because Scott just introduced me to her yesterday. But her name is Sita Thompson. She's with Sita Couture, and she is an entrepreneur. She's got a very interesting life, and I thought maybe that Amanda Holmes and Sita should know each other because they have so much in common. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your life and your entrepreneur journey.
My name is Sita. I have a clothing line called Sita Couture. It's a luxury lifestyle apparel brand targeting, well, the luxury lifestyle woman, but just pretty much women on the go who want to have a brand that suits their everyday. They can be comfortable in their pieces, fashion forward, easy. And I think about them on every step, like from in the morning, like pieces that can take you from day to evening with a flip of a shoe and layering. I'm really about layering. I'm about eco fabrics. I'm about pieces that, I mean, in essence, it empowers you kind of to be your best, because all of us women, I don't know if you know this, Helen, but we suffer. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do, and most of us.
You don't look like you're suffering.
I'm telling you, we do. Like, what are we going to wear today? How do we feel? I danced all my life and had a lot of time on stage, knowing what that feels like. Like, it's even worse when you're on stage. We have regular issues, women being in the public with kids, husbands, boyfriends, whatever, but then you have the functionality issue that you have to deal with. So, and when you're on stage, it's even more intense. So my roots come from that when it comes to really being able to look after you and your whole journey. That's what I aim to do in my line. And I'm very about, as far as the branding, encouraging peace. I love to talk about the clothes you wear when you meditate, right? How you wake up, your morning process. And I have clothes for every step of our lives.
So it's interesting what I'm hearing here, and we heard it from when we interviewed Jasmine Starr about having a differentiator, first of all, but having kind of caring about other people built into your brand. And this is what I hear from Sita.
Well, I think majority of our users just don't trust us anymore. Customers don't trust companies anymore. So it's a way of being able to build that trust, however you can build that trust. So for you, you're in retail, right? Not so much online. So it's in a store, you go up, and if you see a brand that says, we're doing this and we're mindful, that's an important piece for people today. That's really interesting. How did you begin on this journey? What took you into this?
It's a really funny story. Alan, I haven't told you yet, but, well, you know my dad's a farmer, so I'm a farmer's daughter. And he's very compassionate, very heartfelt, just love. But he could not understand why I was freaking out in front of that clothing store at the mall and wanting to buy those $200 worth of dresses. He was like, whoa. He couldn't figure it out. He's like, I got my boots, got my jacket, my flannel, and my jeans, and my hat, and that's about all I need. He goes, but listen, I don't understand, but I'm going to support you. I'm not going to spend $200 on these clothes, but I'm going to get you this here machine. So I started the journey. And, you know, being out there on the farm was not, like, you don't really feel so pretty. I mean, you're having to pitch melons and pick avos and, you know, really. So I really appreciated the earth step, but I was also very feminine and wanted to be pretty. That's how it started. And then it grew from there, you know, making my own patterns, having a couture designer that came to our organic farm since I was 12. She came with her backpack like those Europeans do, but you go to Europe and she's got all these stores and she's in all these magazines. I'm like, oh my goodness. So she was a huge inspiration to go intern for her for a year, start learning how to cut patterns, start learning how to refine what I was doing. But it started with that just desire to be pretty.
I'm just curious, what is your mission? What is your goal with your brand? Because it seems like you're very mindful about what you're doing.
We're pretty much B2B right now. So my next level is really bringing it. That's why I'm here, a digital marketer, is to bring the line to an e-commerce platform and really thrive there. I'm really into women on the journey of healing. I mean, they're to me the superheroes. I meet people that get through cancer or MS, and I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, my friends ask me who my heroes are, and it's these women. It's like they blow me away. So highlighting stories about them, showing other women like healing is possible, entrepreneurship is possible, this is how. So using my brand as a platform to educate and inspire. And that can only really be done effectively online now. So I'm so much that nook and cranny girl that built and I construct and I sit. I love fitting. Like, I can't wait to have you over when you come to LA and like just play with you and just like show you everything I can do to help out your life. But that can be filmed and that can be shared with people who look similar to you, that have a similar energy. It's like, okay, you look like Amanda, here you go. And that can go out. So I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited. So moving forward, that's where I want to take the brand. That's where I want to take the line. And that's how I want to do it, by highlighting those things that inspire me like no other and being able to populate that globally.
SitaCouture.com is where you can find her. She's one of the attendees here. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.